Hello and welcome to another episode of the Alternative F1 Podcast. We've got a full house today. I'm joined by my friends, pals, amigos, and I've got some new buttons to press. So I'm trying to look at this. Well, I'm here with George, Ash, Amy, and obviously Tomo. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're all good. He's still trying to press his button.
It's all working. Right, Tomo, we've had some technical problems with Tomo, but I'm sure you can hear him now. How are you, sir?
Loud and clear. Well, I feel like I'm there in spirit, Trey, because I'm loving the drip, mate. Very nice.
Oh, well, you know, for those who can't see, I'm wearing Tomo's line of merch that is available now. We will put it in the link. Or Tomo, you can tell people who can't see where to get your merch.
ThomasRacingGoods.com. Check it out. Very nice. Put a lot of effort into it. Took ages to get it made. And the quality is second to none. All right.
Hang on.
You can attest to that, Trey. Come on, Amy. Yeah. The thickness.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it looks
very
like a nice
quality.
Yeah. That's my style. I'm going to grab one.
The quality is superb, I must say. And I'm very happy to be wearing it.
It's good.
You know, I'm one of the few people that got this first. I'm just putting it out there. That's all. I know.
Dre knows everyone, right? So the fact that we are all blessed to be within Dre's circle, it's honestly a privilege, man.
It's not
enough of that. Walk like to here.
This new toy that he's got.
I'm just gassing him up because I'm going to bring him down in this pod. I'm just setting you up for failure, Dre.
You won't get that. That's it. I promise you, people, I won't press any more buttons. Only the applause now and again for myself to make valid points. All right, let's get to it. Obviously, we had our second race. Again, McLaren dominance. Mm. But George, let you run down the facts.
Yeah, I mean, Shanghai Grand Prix, it's a McLaren 1-2 with Piastri and Norris up front. Piastri pretty much controlled this race from start to finish. You have George Russell in third. Bit of a mix-up with the strategy, I'd say, from Ferrari, in particular when it comes to Lewis Hamilton. Though I know it was predicted to be a two-stop race, but really, the top five only stopped once. So it goes to show it doesn't always go the way people think it's going to go. Great drive from Haas, Ocon, and Behrman, who, I got to say, I'll say right off the top with my driver of the day, Oliver Behrman. I know it went to Kimi, but I don't agree with that. Finding themselves in the points. A little bit of drama when it comes to the end of the race, and I'll let Tomo pick up on that when it comes to disqualifications, but a straightforward race, if you like, in Shanghai. Strong pace from McLaren. Red Bulls struggled. Both Red Bulls, actually. Mm-hmm. We all know about Liam Lawson. We'll come to that at some point in the show, but Max Verstappen himself, who mentioned in the sprint that they were going to struggle in this race, and they kind of did. But no, a bit of an overview. Tomo, you want to jump in and pick up on things that I missed out?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Ferrari disqualification is the biggest, most significant thing. Pierre Gasly also disqualified in the end. And as far as I'm aware, two cars from the same team have never been disqualified for a technical infringement. And the thing is, they're different infringements. So they got disqualified for different things. Charles got disqualified for the car being underweight by about a kilo when they take the fuel sample. Obviously, he had a front wing end plate off on lap one after contact with Lewis, but that they do put a new front wing on to kind of account for that, and he was still underweight. And then Lewis got done for the skid block underneath the car, being it was 0.4 of a millimeter, point less than half of a millimeter,
literally,
which is
thinner than this, I believe,
thinner than any card in your wallet. So it's one of those that they are. In F1, you might think it's not fair. You might think only 0.4 of a millimeter, but these are black and white rules that are enforced in a very black and white way. It's not the first time Lewis got caught for skid block when he was at Mercedes in Austin. I want to say that was 2 years ago, I think. George Russell, when he got disqualified in Spa, that was because his car was underweight. So there is precedent for this. And it's just, Australia wasn't great for Ferrari. The performance was much closer to where they would expect to be in China, yet they walk away from the race with 0 points. At least Lewis won the sprint, so it's not all bad, but it could have been a lot better.
I remembered that we hadn't mentioned the sprint, and
Ferrari fan either in this place who's producing, who's also a traitor to McLaren. she has been, you know, frantically mentioning to me, waving in the air to mention
she's wearing her mic.
I'm glad that she hasn't got a mic. Because she's mentioning sprint. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Amy, we've missed you.
Hi.
First of all, we've missed you. So, Amy, the sprint. First, let's go through the sprint before we go through all the little details of, well, there's a lot to chat about with the main race, but the sprint race.
Mm.
Lewis ran supreme. Old school Lewis.
Old school Lewis, back. Was you hyped? What we know. Yeah. I was like, this is good. He's back. Race weekend's going to be big for Ferrari. Yeah, it's all a little bit too much too soon. We've all been there.
You know what? It's a nice little moment for the fans. And it shows what could be done if the right decisions are made.
Do you know what? I actually think that this, because they did so good in the sprint with Lewis winning, it's actually going to hurt even more that they both got disqualified. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, this is how good we can be. But then it just feels like it's going to be a little bit more raw.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the Tifosi. Am I getting that right, Tomo?
You are? Well done.
Yes, you see. I just don't want to upset some of these hardcore old school fans who's going to, you know, come out with pitchforks and fire for me if I get anything wrong. But, you know, Ash, on that, obviously, we was all talking about the sprint race, first of all. And it looked like ended up being a false dawn. But I wouldn't be too negative about it. Obviously, mistakes are made in the main race.
Yeah.
But the main thing is that car's got pace, even when it's missing parts of its, you know, machinery as such.
No, 100%. I mean, I completely agree with Amy. I think this just goes to show what Ferrari can do, and it does suck. I mean, that's to put it lightly. There's a whole bunch of words we could use, but we're trying to be PC, PG friendly for all the kids out there. but yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see. I mean, Ferrari fans, they had it all. It was so close, and then it just got ripped away at the last minute almost on their actual race day. But I think it's exciting. I mean, again, some of this technicality stuff goes a little bit over my head when it comes to, like, specific car parts and everything. But I was having a read through, and it does just seem, unfortunately, like silly errors that shouldn't have happened. But hey, this is a huge learning curve, and I'm excited to see what they can do next time.
What I don't understand about that is, so obviously Lewis and Leclerc collided. It was totally accidental. Leclerc has already come out and said it was an accident. He didn't know Lewis was going to come on the inside.
This is on the main race.
This is on the main race, not the sprint. But what I still can't understand is, after Leclerc lost, and Tomo, you might be able to help us out here, after they made contact and Leclerc lost part of his front wing, how is it that he still had that ridiculous pace to hear team orders to switch cars with Lewis? And it's not until the end of the race, or the final laps, where it seemed like he was losing pace. The aerodynamics of the car, I just don't get how he still continued to be so quick. How does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question. I think it's a combination of, you know, the track characteristics. So Shanghai, you call that a front limited track. And what that means is that when you're thinking about the front wheels and the rear wheels, it's the fronts around Shanghai that are going to take the, you know, they're the ones that are going to wear through first. And there's other tracks, you know, that you'll call it rear limited, and it's the rear tires that you have to be more concerned about. And we don't know. Look, not only did the front wing end plate fall off, but also you could see that part of the wing was lower as well. And look, I mean, these cars are so aerodynamically kind of optimized by these teams. And well, flexi wings has been a big talk of the paddock, right? And we had changes to the rear wing for this Grand Prix. And through maybe just sheer blind luck, to be honest, it ended up not actually massively affecting the car. Because even if it had been the other rear wing end plate, then it would have changed the aerodynamics on the other side of the car, and it might not have worked out so well. This has happened before. I do remember a race. I can't remember when it was, when Charles and Carlos were teammates. Charles had front wing damage. I think it was around Silverstone 1 year, and Charles was faster. And it can just, sometimes that's just the way it goes. It's not by design. It's just blind luck. Unfortunately for Charles, it didn't seem to rob him of too much performance. We'll never know how quick he would have been if the front wing, like, would he have been quicker or slower? I imagine Charles would have to be honest, I imagine he would have been even quicker over the full stint. And I think the way he fell off towards the end, yeah, and where Max was able to catch and pass him, probably was something to do with, all right, yeah, sure, the front wing braking might have made him quicker, but then he was probably running through that tyre a bit more. So honestly, there isn't, probably that's what Ferrari are looking at right now to try and kind of understand exactly what happens. And all in all, I think that at least Ferrari were quick. It'd be better for them to be quick and, all right, they got disqualified because they flew a bit too close to the sun on setup and took a, you know, didn't build in enough margin, than to be slow and to get points. Because it does indicate that, all right, if you give them the car and at certain tracks, the Ferrari will be quick, they can fight for wins. And Lewis proves that in the sprint.
Oh, well, 100%.
The thing is that, okay, let's spend 5 minutes on Ferrari. There's lots to pack into in a short space of time. Now, Ferrari fans are angry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not only... well, they ain't happy, that's for sure. So not only was there, obviously, the disqualification, which I feel is harsh.
It's harsh, but...
But rules are the rules. You know, I'm sure Thomas going to say, well, case there are.
Same rules for everyone. Is that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I'm agreeing with that. I'm looking at Eva, who's quite disappointed.
Yeah.
If you thought she was mad before with, you know, some of those decisions that were made, and obviously the bad luck with the front wing, you should have seen her, you know, when she finally realised and clocked that they got 0 points.
Gutted.
Nil point.
Yeah, nil point. So, yeah.
So... Right, okay, let's go through it. So, Fred Vasseur was very angry with the media because of the clips that were shown for the radio interactions with the engineers. Mm-hmm. It was Lewis's decision that Charles was going to be going faster. He realized Charles was going faster than him, and then he was going to let Charles go in front.
Yep.
Now, it was put across on Sky and F1 and anywhere else, as it was team orders, and the little bit of clips that we heard was Lewis saying, I'll tell you when you can pass. So, Amy, I'm going to come to you first of all. Do you feel that there's some type of stitch-up? Because this is kind of what's going on in social media world and YouTube that I've been watching all night long. That there's people got it in for Lewis? Is there some type of imbalance when it comes to coverage? Because at the end of the day, they could have easily just replayed him saying, hey, guys, I'm going to let Charles go in front of me.
Yeah, I think people love to see people fail. Yep. I know it sounds awful. Like, hey, I'm not one of these haters. Like, I don't want to see Lewis fail. I actually want him to see him do good. But I think, look, it's the media. They love a story. If it was like, oh, yeah, look, we're working as a team. And yeah, no worries. He's going faster. Let him go forward. It doesn't get attention, does it? It doesn't get headlines. It doesn't get people talking about it. And I know it's frustrating, but equally, more people are talking about Ferrari because of it. So they need to sort of hone that in. Like, don't be angry about it. If you know what you're doing in your team... Yeah. Block out the noise, let the headlines roll, because at the end of the day, they're getting more people talking about them.
Isn't there like a greater good that, because obviously, you know, you could really shape the way that we think when it comes to these messages.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, you know, if we look at Max, for example, Max will be going back and forth with his engineer. You know, Lewis was going back and forth with his. Definitely Charles was going back and forth with his. So it looked like there's a bit of disarray with Ferrari. So I think, To be honest with you, from what I understand, that the media or broadcasting teams have actually been putting out, you know, to make look like Ferrari's, like, you know, incompetence effectively.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've definitely seen that this weekend, especially. But I also find it quite fascinating, especially for new fans, like dipping their toe into F1 for the first time. This is kind of what they're going to be seeing.
Amy's a vet.
This is what they're going to be seeing first and foremost. And I think to myself, and like, luckily, we all know kind of how media works, how the stories get portrayed. Like you said, Amy, it makes good coverage and, you know, people are chatting about it. But for new fans who might not know anything, they're just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Something's happening at Ferrari. Like, oh, that's a bit awkward. Maybe I don't really want to support them. They kind of, you know, something might happen here. It might be a bit of turmoil, an implosion, something. I don't know. But that's definitely what it comes across as. Mm. But that is just the media. I mean, we all saw Lewis coming out afterwards, having his say. Because, I mean, the guys and stuff, they know mm-hmm. what's happening in the media. They know what people are chatting about. Yep. But I do think it is interesting. I mean, who knows? We've got the rest of the season to go, whether the media does it with other people or whether they just want to stick it with Ferrari. Yeah. Because it is Lewis. He's a big yep. name and it is interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the media side of things, I mean, it does feel as if they've literally come ham for Ferrari this weekend and Lewis. It
well, feel that way. I feel like just the first two races. We had it the first week, didn't we, with the whole engineer conversation.
Yeah.
And how Lewis spoke to him.
But they only put a small snippet.
And if actually it's a really good point, because like I've been watching it for the last few seasons. But if you're brand new and that's and you are believing everything you're seeing, you're going, ooh, yeah. he's a bit sassy Lewis, with yeah. his engineer, isn't he?
Lewis, a bit,
yeah, you'd yeah. be going, oh, hang on. Yeah, I'm not really keen on him now. I'm not really sure what I think about this.
Exactly.
And actually, it's a tiny little segment. And you don't know the amount of hours and conversations that are going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And you've heard 10 seconds of it in the race and you're forming a decision on that because the media's putting it out there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, before you jump in, it's real quick too. It's frustrating because number one, Lewis himself actually did say, you know, we would live in a world of negativity and negativity wins right now. He knows that. The team knows that. If you know the sport, you know that's not how it went down. Number two, if you watch the race, like you said, Dre, mm-hmm. you would have seen that Lewis instigated that change. Mm. Yes, he said, okay, I'll let you know when. But this is the media. This is the world that we live in. You said it as well, Amy. It sells, right? If we yeah. just show this clip of Lewis determining when we're going to switch, that's going to get the clicks.
Yeah.
Also, most people sometimes watch highlights.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I watch the highlights first before.
And you're going to see that, right?
You see yeah. what the media kind of want you to see first. And again, makes good TV and makes good coverage. Like, I get the business side of things.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, watching the full race, I was like, oh,
yeah.
media came in and, you know,
they did what they're going to do.
Storylines themselves. Yeah.
Mm. And like anything good, it takes time, right? So long as, you know, real fans know what happened. Lewis and his team know what happened. That's the main thing. But unfortunately, this yeah. is where the cookie crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
I think as well, like Australia, there was always going to be a tension on Lewis and his race engineer in Australia because Lewis had been with Bono for so long at Mercedes. There was a lot made of, oh, will Bono follow Lewis to Ferrari? Oh, that's not going to happen. Right, it's going to have to. And these drivers, like this driver race engineer relationship is so pivotal, so key, so important because, again, they're in super high pressure situation. They need to understand what the driver's actually trying to communicate when they speak on the radio. Like this is a really, really key relationship. So I'm not surprised there was a lot of attention put on it in Australia, a lot of eyeballs, I guess. And, you know, it's like any new relationship between a driver and race engineer is going to take a bit of time to bed in. But there is a difference between, you know, the eyeballs on it in Australia and then again, missing out such key important context that's different. I like to think with the best will in the world that it wasn't done maliciously, it wasn't done on purpose, but for the fact that they didn't even, like, because, you know, it's a live broadcast, you've got a race director with lots of different feeds and people offering, and you've got, like, they are almost like choreographing a scene because it's live TV, it's live sport, so there's a lot that goes into it. But to not even, like, after the fact be like, just play the radio to just give that context that, oh, Lewis was the one who initially instigated the idea of swapping places. That would have completely changed the perspective that we all had, right, watching the race. Because again, we only hear what we're given. There's so much team radio. There's people who you see on Twitter who comb through all the team radio of every single driver and like pick out little snippets and interesting bits. Like, on the actual main broadcast feed, we're only shown a fraction of a percent of all of the team radio that knocks about. And I'm glad Fred has made a point of it. I am, because I think it's important that, you know, these narratives we don't let them get carried away and just let the race director feel like they can do what, like, this is the big criticism of Drive to Survive, right? It misrepresents, and maybe sometimes it does. I think sometimes people blow it over. But when you've got the main broadcast misrepresenting what, like, the point of showing the team radios is to give context to what's going on. If you're not going to show the full context, then that is, I think that is very unprofessional as far as I'm concerned.
I'm going to get me and Tomo out of any particular problems because we know,
oh God,
one of the producer directors from Sky. So we're not saying anyone is doing anything mischievous.
But this isn't Sky who do it. This is Formula One. Like, this is the main...
Yeah.
This is the main broadcast that then is sent to Sky or DAZN or whoever in whatever territory.
Yeah, yeah,
so that team, yeah. No. I'm saying Sky and DAZN, they don't only Formula One,
Formula One
management have control of what team radios are shown. So it's on F1 at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Good. Because, we like our comfy relationship with our lovely friends at Sky. Just in case they're saying, well, so what are you saying? Are you saying we're liars and biased, you know? But yeah, I must say, you know, if you're a Ferrari fan, just lastly on this, guys, is it time to panic? Or I think you guys had a great weekend up and down because you got to experience what it's like at the sprint weekend. You also got to hear Lewis's new victory word. So hammer time's gone, I think.
I do miss it.
But this new word, which I've been looking around frantically for, I'm sure you know it, Tomo.
What was San Diego, was it?
San Diego. Yeah, San Diego. Yeah, so as soon as we heard that, and he was like, really, really? And you can't help, even if it's not your team, you can't help but smile. Unless you're probably a Red Bull fan, you're probably growling at it. But you can't help but smile because obviously when he realised he won, the laughter that you actually heard is
genuine happiness,
who won.
Man.
Yeah. So it's not all. There's no need to panic, Ferrari fans. There
22
is,
races to go. We've got a long way to go.
Ain't winning nothing. I'll just let you know now. It's a championship. Championship is. I don't think. I would say this. They have a good season. I don't think you're winning no championship though.
What, Ferrari?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's I'm just jumping out. Jumping out and just saying that. Tomo's is.
I mean, you also tried to shame me, Jordan Ash, for backing Oscar to win this Grand Prix. And what happened? What happened, Ray? What happened?
We're going to spend 5 minutes on this, right? I'm just going to make this clear, right? All right, let's go to it. So before we get into the Red Bull drama, because that is a story in its own.
Yeah.
Now, Oscar won.
He did, Dre. He did.
He won the second race. Need I remind people that Lando won the first race?
Correct.
No, but that's fine. But you couldn't accept the fact that Oscar was going to win in Shanghai. Like, and regardless of you being such a Lando fanboy.
Unacceptable. No, I'm not.
You should have just said, no, you know what? I think Oscar's time is coming.
They're both family to me.
I mean,
Amy, you know what, he tried to paint us as haters.
I'll be honest.
He tried to paint us as haters.
He did.
I'll be honest with this, right? I feel that Lando needs looking after a little bit more than Oscar.
Why though?
I feel like Oscar is. He's just. I mean,
so what I said last week.
I think by the first time I spoke to him, I was like, in my head, I was thinking, okay, what's all this? Like, this. I hope you're worth all this fuss. Do you get what I mean? Because obviously, him versus Alpine, putting out that he's going to be starting for them, and then him saying, no, it's not. And there's the whole kerfuffle about him. And then, like, when I spoke to him for a little while, he is one of the nicest people you can meet, and he's so down to earth, and there's no stupid question that you can't ask him. But I just feel like he's like, I'm good. I'm just getting used to stuff. But maybe, if anything, is that there's certain little mistakes that he might make, which he did obviously in the first race, which Lando normally wouldn't. But I would say that, and then Lando made a mistake when it comes to quali. But Lando doesn't make as many mistakes. Is that fair to say?
Wait, well, as Oscar.
Are you talking about Lando needing looking after or Oscar?
Lando needs emotionally looking after. I would say.
You know what's crazy is that he's like a high class athlete.
Yeah.
And he's not a novice in this. Like,
no, he's not. But he's
like,
he's,
why do you feel like he needs to be nurtured?
He's got a caring heart.
Right.
Where's
pack it up, Lando?
Wow.
Job done.
Wow. So
what you're saying here is almost like what I was referring to on our other episode about. I feel like Oscar has more grit and more.
He's not trying to be friends with people.
No, but he wants to win. But
yeah,
what you're saying kind of alludes to the fact that it's almost like you're kind of realizing, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, that Lando maybe doesn't have what it takes.
No, I would say this.
I'm
going to come to someone impartial because you guys are trying to frame me.
You're the Lando lover.
Wait, what I would say is this.
Am I the impartial person?
You're the impartial person.
Okay,
because you haven't solidified the team yet.
No.
As much as I'm trying to get you to
sitting on the McLaren, fence.
You know, I'm getting you away from Red Bull as much as I possibly can. We've got to have a Red Bull representative because they're catching too many strays from me without any form of reply. Now, what's this?
Oh, you do have a team.
What's this?
Apparently, I do have a team today. Guys, this looks
wow.
I don't know, but I do look all right in red.
Clean. Oh, you know what? This is
what is it? It's not no longer hammer time. Diego, Diego, baby,
unbelievable. There's me trying to. Right. I would say that. Remember, Oscar has to deal with something that Lando doesn't.
I get that.
Which is he has four or five friends that he came into this circuit with. So these guys all know each other. So I do think there's that element into it, and I do enjoy the fact that a nice guy, a really really nice guy, not that Oscar's not because Oscar is, but he's not friends with these guys. You have to overcome a lot. So if I'm showing any form of like softness. It's because of that. But they're both my boys because I'm Team McLaren. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out to everyone else from other teams. But, you know, that's my home.
It's your team. But like any good parent, you do have a favourite child.
Well, there you go. The unwritten rule.
He may look, let's call a spade here.
Amy, I want to hear, like, what's your perspective on the Lando Oscar thing from, I guess, maybe that mentality point of view? Because I feel like on track, they're pretty comparable, right?
I feel like the first time I was guest on this is what you asked me about. And I was like saying, in my opinion, you can't compare any of the drivers, even if they drive for the same team, because everyone is different. So their mentality is going to be different. So the way that they approach the races is different. Oscar's different. Lando's different. You think that Lando needs a bit of care and charisma because he's, you know, a little bit softer than, say, Oscar. You think Oscar's got a bit more grit. I think, personally, actually having two drivers that work well together but are very different is going to be very beneficial for McLaren.
Yeah.
Because you've not got the same situation. I know you want to talk about the Red Bull thing, like with Verstappen, Sergio Perez, where they're so different. They're polar opposites. They're kind of cohesive, but they're different enough to like really like form a team, form a bond. Bit like what we've seen with Leclerc and Hamilton. Yeah. Hamilton was happy to go, listen, guys, he's faster. I'll take a step back for the team.
Yeah.
So there's like, even though they're racing individually, they're racing as a team. Yeah. And I think that's probably more important.
I think you saw it as well in the race with Norris, where he held up. I think it was George Russell he held up.
Yeah.
Piastri enough time to avoid the undercut to get in the pits and come out again. So they work great as a team. Mm. I just still think Oscar's.
No, there's going to be a point just before you come in, Ash. There's going to be a point because, you know, don't forget this is that, you know, Lando almost cost himself second place because he was. They were saying, relax with the brakes.
Yeah.
Brakes aren't working as much. You know, relax. And then each lap, he was going faster and faster because he wanted to catch Oscar. These two, I hope it's not going to be like, obviously, Lewis and Rosberg.
Wow.
Where they're friends and then they clash. But, you know, there's a rivalry there. And these two will race. But at the end of the day is that what I'm really glad about with these guys is that they actually understand the bigger picture, which
they
is
do.
A 1-2.
That's it. Know. That's what I was going to say. I think it's nice to see, you know, regard like, hey, we'll continue giving you shtick for the entire F1 season, Dre, don't you worry. But
that's my boy.
But it's nice to see that McLaren do know what they're doing. And, you know, I think we're going to see a shit ton more of 1-2s or, you know, 1-3s and stuff on the podium. I think it's going to be a McLaren takeover this season if they continue doing what they're doing. But hey, I'm a girl who loves a bit of drama as well, sipping a bit of that tea.
Right, it's not in the bag yet.
I think
yet.
A clash might come at some point.
That's right.
Because, hey, we saw it last season as well. And this is, I think, where Lando emotionally kind of does slip up. He gets frustrated sometimes. And when he gets frustrated, mistakes do happen. I don't know when it's going to happen this season, but I do think it's going to happen again. Yeah. But hopefully they've learned from last year. But it's nice to see these two guys working well together.
Well, at the moment, it just looks like the only people that can actually beat McLaren is McLaren themselves. So, but everything's going well at the moment. Unlike Red Bull,
nice
the whole family there. So, you know, obviously you've got RB, Racing Bulls, who are ticking along real nice.
They're just chilling.
You know, the car's working well. Only problem they have is the strategies.
Yeah.
Which seems to be a problem. And then on the other side of things, poor... you know what? Let me go into RB. Tomo, please explain to me how Racing Bulls, Visa Cash App Racing Bulls, end up messing up stuff all the time. Why?
Yeah, I mean, they've made two Herculean mess ups on strategy. So Yuki was comfortably in the points in Australia, and they pulled him in way too late. He boxed on lap 47. Everyone else, like the optimum lap was 44, so like 3 laps late, struggling on. So that ruined any chance for points for him. And then, yeah, in China, the two stop, we said that was the assumed stop because no one had run the C2 tire, which is the hardest of the compounds. They didn't know through practice how long that was going to last. There was an assumption that it would be a two stop, and then they bolted the hard tires on and the mediums in the race and realized, oh, hang on, actually we can make a one stop work rather than losing, 25 seconds pitting. And Racing Bulls were basically the only team to just blinkers on. No, we're doing two stop. We're not changing our mind. We're going to do two stop anyway. And yeah, I mean, considering Isaac qualified P7 for the race and Yuki P9, Isaac did a fantastic job for them to come out with 0 points. Yeah, just two big blunders. It's, the thing for Racing Bulls is that, and like I said for Ferrari, look, at least they're quick. They might have lost points, but at least they're quick, which indicates that there's more opportunities. However, in that midfield battle, it only takes a couple of upgrades from teams around them, and all of a sudden, Racing Bulls aren't looking quite so competitive. So, for them to not capitalize first 2 weekends and only be on 3 points, they're ninth
Absolutely
in the
ridiculous.
constructors when they're actually like the fifth quickest car. Like, really, I think you could argue it's pretty close to Red Bull, in fact. So, yeah, it's big, big opportunities missed, unfortunately, for the Bulls that race.
Right, quick shout out to Isaac Hadjar. I'm pronouncing his name right. I'm butchering everyone's names lately, but
No, spot on. Well done,
what
Dre.
a
Well done.
massive comeback from last weekend,
Yeah.
where he is welcome.
Huge.
His whole world, collapsed around him. I like that. Yeah, no, salute to him. And then obviously, let's talk for a minute about Yuki
Oh.
there. And obviously it's gonna lead on to Liam Lawson, which is I feel very sorry for this guy. He's a young guy, two races in, this guy's getting like heat and pressure. And then obviously on the other side, Yuki's loving life because it's Yuki's revenge tour, except for the points. I must shout out the press officer, Alex Horton, who shut down a question very, very quickly, where Yuki was happy to talk about that fact that he's easily confident to be able to step up to
Second
you
seat,
know
yeah.
to Red Bull in the second seat. And then she shut that down. So it wasn't a man, as everyone else has put it, because it was Alex Horton from RB Visa Cash App. That's as best as I can actually pronounce that name. So I'll just give her a bit of a shout out as well. There's a feel for her as well. Right. I'm going through them all because I just want to talk last 5 minutes about the chaos that is this second seat. Now, also, driver of the day, Kimi Antonelli.
They gave it to him and
They
he was
gave it to him.
surprised.
And, I'm still to him.
Oliver Bearman.
Do you think he's deserved?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I mean, he said it himself. Me?
Well, you want to
Like,
give it to
I'll give
Ollie,
it, yeah, no,
Ollie,
yeah. Ollie, yeah,
what's it?
Bearman.
Chow.
Yeah, Chow.
Chow
In the words of him,
Bearman.
Chow, he was great. He had a great drive. I think he
Please keep
started
that. I want him to
P7.
keep that.
Yeah, P17, I think he started from. He did it. He had a
Yep.
great drive. I was very impressed. I'm not too sure why they gave it to Kimi, to be honest with you. He had a good drive too,
He's got a
but.
big fan base now.
Yeah.
Bro, Oliver Bearman is my driver of the day. There you go.
Difficult. Who's your driver today?
Difficult to disagree with that, really. I mean, at first I was like, oh, well done. Like, I like watching Kimi. I was excited to see him come up and everything. He's one, he, like, he's my rookie to watch this season anyway, so I was excited. But afterwards, I think I saw like a post that you put out, and it was like, what? Why didn't Ollie get it?
Hi.
Okay, let me like watch your back and everything. So I do agree with you. I think maybe it was too quick to give Kimi this, and maybe they overlooked some other
You think
drivers.
they need to revamp driver of the day?
Yes.
Because it is a bit of a
It's a
fan
fan
favorite. So
vote.
whoever's
Yeah.
got the
Yeah.
biggest fan base, normally it's like, I don't know,
Do
driver
you
of the
have
day.
points for driver of the day?
No,
No.
Oh,
no.
right.
No. But so the most compelling theory I've heard is that it was fantasy league people coming together because they had Kimi in their fantasy league. Because you get points in
What the
fantasy league if
heck?
they get driver of the
Oh,
day.
you do.
Bonus point. Wow.
Ooh, that's
God, the
good.
fan
Can't
base
confirm.
is coming in strong. Yeah.
George, NFL, I need you to do that too.
Yeah, literally.
Does anyone think that Liam Lawson's going to win it
Oh
anytime
man.
soon?
You know what? If we're talking about Liam and
Yes,
Yuki,
please.
I will just say, I will just say, as much as my heart goes out to Liam, my heart actually goes out to Yuki as well. And I'll tell you why, because I feel like this is just a setup for disaster. for Yuki. That second seat is
Kurt. You don't want him to go there?
I don't want him. Run a mile, bro. Don't do it.
So he signed
a one-year contract with Racing Bulls, right? So he's out of contract after this season. You've got the two new teams that are coming in. Perhaps, in my opinion, I would rather he stayed away from Red Bull entirely because you're going to get into that second seat. I know he came out and said he thinks he can drive it. I'll say it again. And Horner said this himself. The car is set up for Max. Max wants more front end, he gets it. Less back end, he can deal with it. Other drivers can't. You can reel off the name of drivers who have struggled in that second seat for Red Bull. Yuki's going to come in my opinion. He'll come in, he won't be able to perform. The culture is bad. In my opinion, it's slightly toxic. It's going to end up the same as Checo, and then you're out of the seat. Yuki, don't do it. Run a mile. Please don't do it.
Can I read this? So this is a quote from Max Verstappen over the weekend talking about the situation. I think this gives important context. So this is what Max said to Dutch media, right? If you look at the difference between the two drivers at other teams, so Yuki and Isaac, they are all closer together. It also shows that our car is extremely tough. I think if you put Liam in the Racing Bulls car, he will go faster. I really think so. That car is easier to drive than ours. I also noticed that when I talked to Liam. Last year, I didn't think the difference between him and Yuki was that big. Otherwise, the team wouldn't have made the choice to put him in at Red Bull either. As far as I'm concerned, if you put Yuki in that seat, he will struggle at a similar level to Liam because they clearly, that junior team does not adequately prepare its drivers for what that Red Bull needs in terms of driving style. We've seen it with Pierre, we've seen it with Alex, we're seeing it with Liam. You bring someone in from the outside with Checo, it doesn't work with him either. I don't know what they do, but I don't think putting Yuki in is going to help Yuki at all because he's driving so well in that car at the minute. And I think putting him in that Red Bull, I don't see it going well. I really don't.
There's a question back at you, Tomo. If you can see what's happening, we can see what's happening. It's rinse and repeat. Why Red Bull not? I understand that Max has won again. He won last season again. So I suppose if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But you have all these other issues that continue to come up every single season. Why are they not trying, at least trying to adjust this or do something about it?
I feel like obviously 26 next year is a fresh set of regulations, new car. And I hope for Red Bull's sake that they've learned for this, that because like you say, it has worked, right? As much as the second driver hasn't been anywhere near Max since Daniel Ricciardo in 2018, this is 6 year problem, right? That they haven't fixed, but it has worked. They've won drivers' titles, they've won constructors. They've just about got constructors over the line and they didn't last year. So that was the first time they were kind of burnt in terms of like the actual what matters, whether you win the title by 1 point or 100 points, a win's a win. And so I think they're going to have to do something different for 26 because otherwise Max holds all the cards. And if he does bugger off to Aston Martin or Mercedes, they are fucked. They are fucked if he's not in that car. Because he's the only person who can drive it. So they need to do something different.
Right, we're running a low on time, but you know what? Since Amy's come back and I've missed her so much, I'm going to ask her the hardest question.
Oi, oi.
Now, this is about Liam Lawson.
Mm. We're about to end. You asked me a hard question. Yeah. God, good job I got run out.
The team leader, the team principal of Red Bull.
Mm.
How many races do you give him before you make this proposed switch where Yuki comes in and he goes out? You see? You ain't getting all them, not just those nice layup questions. How many races do you give him?
Two more.
We'll do a roundabout.
What? Four overall.
Two more.
Two more. Here's my theory, right? You don't want to give him too little to not get used to it.
Right.
But if he can be a successful F1 driver, Max, we just heard, came out and said, I think he'd do really, really well in the Racing Bulls car. You don't want to give him too many that it's going to completely knock his confidence and get in his head and he'll spiral whatever car he's in. So I reckon two more.
You're going to give him two more?
I'm going to give him two
more. So you're going to give him four races in general, in total.
Yeah, and he would need to be in the points for the next two races.
Oh, look at this. Harsh, you see this?
That's
true. See?
Yeah.
See, it's not so nice here. I'll tell you, right? Ash, how many would you give?
I mean, I was thinking four overall as well. I think that's a decent amount. I mean, it's tragic because Liam Lawson, I don't think he was ever ready, really. I think he got pulled up way too early. Mm-hmm. I think he had, 11 starts? Before being pulled up to the second seat at Red Bull, on a Grand Prix circuit anyway. Yuki probably should have been there. He's way more experienced, and I completely appreciate cars are built different. Obviously, with Red Bull, like Georgia said, they were focused on Max anyway. But yeah, I just think this is a recipe for disaster for Red Bull this year. We're only two races in, don't get me wrong, but we're seeing things unraveling already. Things aren't working out. And I think Liam Lawson couldn't even get his tyres into their operating window. So they had to change the setup of the car anyway. So he had a pit lane start. Mm-hmm. Just things just seem incredibly messy. And I don't think Horner even knows what's going on, because the interviews that I've seen him do over the weekend as well, it's classic like PR stuff. He's just like, dismiss it. We don't want to chat about it. But he's going to go bald, I think completely bald by the end of the season.
Well, there goes your Red Bull. I'll tell you that now. What say you, lastly? And then Tomo.
I would say at least five more races.
Five more races.
Okay. At least five more races.
More? So seven altogether.
Soft, sensible.
Yeah. And I would also say he knows this track coming up in Japan, so I'd like to see something. Like you said,
say if you don't get
points.
No more points. Say if,
let's see something.
Say if you don't get any points in Suzuka.
None at all.
Yeah.
I still would give him another race at least after that.
So if he crashes out, like it burns out completely, unless qualifying.
I still
if
would.
It's not his fault.
Yeah, I still would. Yeah. Hasn't been. Too harsh, too quick, too soon.
Tomo, last word.
Oh, I mean, you guys are so much more harsh than me. I'd give him half the season. You have to give him at least 12 Grand Prix to fully test him at various different tracks in various different conditions with various different levels of experience. And honestly, like the points thing, like, okay, if he gets points, fine. Like it's the performance. They need to look at and they'll have the data on his, you know, his lap times relative to Max, his push laps in qualifying, where they are. Like the first laps in SQ1 in China, he was 0.4 off Max, which, I mean, is still big, but it's fairly respectable given that second Red Bull seat. I think you need to give him 12. You need to know without any shadow of doubt, right? If we're going to take him out of that car, you can't put him back. If you pull him after two Grand Prix, he's never getting back in a Red Bull racing car. That's it. That's done. So I think it's been a really tricky, like Australia was crazy conditions and he's never raced around there before. China's never raced around before. And it's a sprint weekend, so minimal practice. I think 12 Grand Prix. And then if it's not working, put Yuki in. Then they've got 12 races of Liam, 12 races of Yuki. And you can, because remember, this Red Bull car is like probably the fourth quickest car, and Max is making it look even better because he's the best driver in F1 as far as I'm concerned. So he's making it look better. Like it's not the dominant animal that it is. So Liam not getting to the point. I mean, Max finishing fourth on merit. It's a long time since we've seen him like on a normal weekend not even get onto the podium. Like this Red Bull is not the same machine relative to the field that it used to be. So you've got to give him 12, as far as I'm concerned. That's a proper sample size to actually make an informed judgment.
We will end on that lovely note with Tomo being nice and kind to Liam Lawson. I'm going with you because I feel sorry for the dude. One of us here has a national show on Capital to put on, so we need to let Amy go.
I'm running.
Amy, please tell people where to find you.
Find me.
Yeah, what show? Your show.
Oh, listen to me on Capital 1 till 4 in the afternoon.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's why she's got that.
I'm
going to
run and do it now.
I'll tell you that now. Right. We will catch you guys next week where we predict what's going to happen in the Japanese Grand Prix. See you then.